Welcome to the Mystery Twins Detective Agency. I'm Liam S. Smith, and I was working in my lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise, he did the mash, he did the monster mash. The monster mash, it was a graveyard smash. He did the mash, it caught on in a flash. He did the mash, he did the monster mash.
I'm Regan Lloyd. Oh, monster mash, oh, monster mash, oh, monster mash, mm.
Seeing as we're doing a Halloween special, I thought I'd do my most self-indulgent introduction yet.
I love your monster mash voice. It's one of my favourite things.
Thank you.
I just really wanted the song to keep going. I was disappointed when you stopped, so I thought I'd just carry it on.
So, as I mentioned a moment ago, we're doing a Halloween special this episode.
Yeah!
So, rather than examining another grisly tale of murder and suspense, we're looking at a ghost story of sorts.
A ghost story. Grisly ghost story of murder and suspense.
Yeah. Grisly ghost mystery.
Yeah!
We all piled on into our green and orange van with our dog and our other two friends and went
we
to
were
go...
like, I'm Regan Lloyd.
Yep. Oh, I get it. Right.
Yeah.
Because you once played Velma in a show.
I did. And that was the voice I used.
Yes. Jinkies.
Indeed.
So we watched Supernatural today.
We did. And it was indeed Supernatural, as the title suggests.
Yeah, but it wasn't really super good.
Oh, man. You were not into it? I loved it.
It's so late 2000s.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
The hair, the
music,
the banter.
Yeah.
Slay me. And I'll come back and haunt you.
Yeah, until I take you home, finally.
At last. Any preliminary thoughts about the show?
Well, I've never seen Supernatural, but my boyfriend loves it, so he watches
really?
It. I think he loves it in, like, a trashy way.
Okay, yes, that's
because,
understandable.
Yeah, because every so often he would just binge, like, 3 seasons.
Okay.
And then not watch it for years, and then come back and watch the next few seasons.
Right, that makes sense. I watch, I think... The first episode I saw was the 4th episode, as I realised when I was looking at its IMDb page today. And then from there I watched the first 2 or 3 seasons, and then I got up to the point where they had killed the demon that killed their mum, and then a new worse demon came along, and then I was like, I've sort of had enough of this.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think by this point they've, like, killed Satan and probably God, and they're, like, best friends with and or fuck angels.
Wow.
Oh, and also the internet wants the brothers to sleep with each other.
Ah, yes, I have seen that on Tumblr. And I was like, that's weird.
That's fucked up. What is it with the internet and wanting mystery-solving twins to sleep with each other?
You can all put down your erotic fan fiction about us immediately.
They're not twins. That was my mistake. But, like, the twins from Gravity Falls, and that's another level of messed up because they're kids.
Oh, yeah, that is weird.
Yeah. Check yourself, internet.
Absolutely.
So, who are our persons of interest today?
Well, we have Sam and Dean Winchester.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Dean is the bad boy and Sam is the bland boy.
I am definitely going to get their names wrong because Sam is played by Jared Padalecki.
Yep.
Yeah, who played Dean in Gilmore Girls. So I just got very confused.
He also played, I checked his IMDb page, he played Clay MacGyver in the Young MacGyver TV movie in which Angus MacGyver's nephew quits school and joins the Phoenix Foundation, but he finds it difficult to follow in the shoes of his famous uncle.
Are you doing the plot of James Bond Jr.?
No, but that's the plot of Young MacGyver, and it's the same plot as James Bond Jr.
Yeah, that was, like, identical.
A big thing on this week's My Brother and Me. To date the podcast.
I feel like the release date's going to date the podcast, to be honest. Hey, yo, that was not funny. I'm sorry, I don't know why I thought it was. I've had a cold this week. I feel like every week I have an excuse for why I'm not funny, and this week the excuse is I've got a cold.
Duly noted. Have you ever watched MacGyver?
I actually don't think I have. I think I've only, like, heard about it.
I was watching an episode of a show about a man coaching an underperforming hockey team, and then I got to the end of the episode and the credits informed me it was MacGyver, and I did not think that was what that show was about.
No, he's a detective, right?
Or he works for something called the Phoenix Foundation, I assume, from the Young MacGyver plot synopsis.
Oh, right, yeah, that makes sense. Weird.
Yeah. Anywho, also we have Jensen Ackles playing Dean. You may know him as CJ from Dawson's Creek, Jason Teague from Smallville, or Jason Todd from Batman Under the Red Hood.
I've seen none of those things.
Also, he played someone called Jensen in something called Never mind, cut that because I can't remember the name of the thing, but it was like the Sorrow of Clown Nana or something.
Oh wow, that sounds terrifying.
Yeah. Rounding out our cast, we have Jeffrey Dean Morgan as John Winchester playing the dad.
Yep.
You may recognise him from a storyline where he played a heart patient in Grey's Anatomy, Denny Duquette.
Yes, I have been told that he was a fan favourite on Grey's Anatomy.
Mm-hmm, so I've heard. Never watched that show.
I sort of vaguely recall that being a thing.
I know there was like an extensive like bomb threat plotline or something.
I did watch the bomb episode for some reason. I didn't really watch Grey's Anatomy, but I was around when that was on.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. Samantha Smith plays Mary Winchester, their dead mum. You may have seen her as Sarah Lennox in Michael Bay's Transformers.
What about Sam's girlfriend?
Adrienne Palicki as Jessica Moore. Tyra Collette in Friday Night Lights and Bobby Morse in Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Perfect. Is that our whole cast?
Two more people. Sarah Shahi as Constant Welch, a vengeful ghost, would later go on to become Renee Royce in Chicago Fire, and Steve Railsback playing Joseph Welch, the ghost's widow. Now, I haven't got a credit for him, but I do have the first paragraph of his IMDb biography because it's crazy.
Hit me up.
Noted for his dangerous chameleon-like portrayals while possessing the scariest-looking pair of eyes in the business, leathery-looking Steve Railsback has mesmerised us over the years with a number of weird, often warped roles both on film and television. While never achieving the degree of stardom deserved, he, like the equally infamous and unpredictable Dennis Hopper, always commands interest whether the material is good or inferior.
Oh, someone's got tickets on themselves.
Someone's got a lot of humble brags going on.
Yeah. Just under-recognised and talented beyond the roles they've been offered.
Also a lizard person.
That's definitely the overwhelming impression, yeah.
Yep. And those are all our people of consequence in this episode.
Absolutely. Should we jump right into recapping?
I guess so. Do you want to take the lead?
Sure. So we open on a spooky shot of a house at night.
Dateline the past.
Very important to note. Mary is putting her little baby to bed. His big brother Dean is saying goodnight to him. The dad takes Dean to bed. The mum wakes up, goes to check on the baby. There's a time jump, obviously, where the baby's gone to sleep.
She falls asleep, immediately wakes up and is like, oh, I should go check on the baby. She goes to check on the baby because there's like crying in the baby monitor.
Yes. She sees her husband with the baby and he says, shh.
Oh, does he? I thought he just stood there.
She's like, all right. But then she goes downstairs and then she sees her husband downstairs watching TV and she's like, oh no. So she goes, check on the baby.
It's like that one terrifying short film we've talked about a couple of times.
Which one?
The one where the son asks his father to check under his bed because he's scared of monsters. And then he looks under his bed and his son's also under his bed saying, Dad, I think there's someone on my bed.
Oh, holy shit.
And that's the end of the short film.
I know we've talked about it, but, like, every time I forget.
Happy Halloween!
Oh, I don't like spooky things. Anyway, she realises then that someone's stolen the baby. So she comes in, someone's stolen the baby.
Wait, no, they haven't.
Haven't they?
She runs upstairs, and then we don't see anything else from her perspective until she screams or something.
Oh, yeah, I just assume someone... Oh, yeah, you hear her scream. Sorry, I thought you saw her scream. You hear her scream from upstairs, and that's when I was like, oh, she's just realised someone's stolen the baby.
The Lindbergh baby.
Yeah, but no. She screams, then the dad goes up to check on her, sees the baby, and is like, oh, thank God, the baby's fine. But then, what's that on his hand? Some sort of liquid? But the baby didn't throw up on him.
Some sort of red liquid? Red wine dripping from the ceiling, mayhap?
That's weird. And then he looks on the roof and his wife is like stuck to the roof, but also slowly dying. But she's been like sliced across her stomach.
Yeah. And then quickly dying because the roof sort of turns into fire and then she turns into fire.
Yeah. It's pretty fucked up. So he gives the baby to Dean, tells Dean to go outside and then the dad's outside.
Yeah. And Dean gets outside and then the dad is immediately next to him, like swooping on him.
Well, I guess the dad could have caught up to a, you know, 2-3-year-old kid pretty quickly.
Why didn't he just go, like, at the same time as them?
I think he wanted to see if he could save his wife.
Or fight some ghosts or something, because I assume he's doing that at the time.
Yeah, that's an interesting point that they don't actually discuss. Because as we will learn in the time jump to the present, I was going to say the future, that's not how TV works, he goes off and hunts ghosts and other supernatural beings to try and find the one that killed his wife. But has he been doing that since before his wife died, or did he start doing that specifically only after his wife died?
Yeah, was it just like a hobby? Was he like one of the Mystery Machine kids and he just did it for fun, but then once his wife died, it turned into some sort of bitter, vengeful crusade?
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like this is probably answered in some of the show that I've watched, but I can't remember.
I think they did say something about since Mum died, but...
Oh, yeah, but I think in future episodes that I've previously seen, they delve into him a bit more.
Yes.
I don't remember.
Nope, and there's no way we'll ever find out, so...
Nope, because the house explodes and the emergency services are there.
As you would hope after a house explosion.
IMDb Goofs pointed out that at this time period in that state, fire trucks were a lime green, not a red.
Lime green!
Yeah, I guess they're highly visible, but you don't really think of fire trucks as being that colour.
No, you don't really associate that with...
No.
No.
Okay, title sequence. Very minimal, I liked that.
Yeah, although I did miss the jauntiness of Death in Paradise.
Yeah, someone should mash that together where it's just... the sort of ghost warping around text of the Supernatural title cut to the ukulele of the Death in Paradise.
Cut with song. Like funny shots of the Winchester brothers.
Yes.
Is it Winchester? I don't remember them saying
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Winchester. Shots of them like in some sort of 90s sitcom opening or whatever where they turn and smile at the camera.
Oh my God. Yes. Yes.
So now it's the future.
It is the future for young Sam and Dean, but it's the present for all of us.
Yeah. It's the past for us, actually, because it's like 2008.
I was wondering when it was. Okay. That's
time
still quite
is
a while
relative.
Ago.
Mm. It's Halloween. Sam's girlfriend is dressed as a sexy nurse, but he doesn't like Halloween.
But she's like, no, you have to come out and celebrate because he got a 174 on his LSAT. Now I know from Legally Blonde that that's a very good score.
Mm-hmm. I didn't from Legally Blonde, but I assumed from context clues. Clues.
I think they change it in the musical from what it is in the movie, but I'm sure in the musical it's a 175 that she's got.
Okay, so he's slightly worse than Elle Woods.
In the same way that literally everyone in the world is.
Well, fair. Also, he's got a scholarship interview on Monday, and he thinks he can get a full ride.
A full ride to Stanford Law. He hasn't actually been accepted into law school, though, I don't think.
No, but I think the interview is for him to get accepted as well, I think. Maybe.
Right. Yeah, I don't know.
And it'll be like a school-sponsored scholarship. I don't really understand how American college admission works.
Oh, God, no. I'm so glad that all we had to do was sit exams.
They're at the party. They're all sort of expositing about his law career. And so it's him, his girlfriend, and their black friend. And the reason that I want to specifically mention that he's their black friend is because at one point when they're talking about Sam's family and how they're not really close anymore, Sam says, we're not exactly the Bradys. And then the friend says, well, yeah, well, we're not exactly the Huxtables. That, of course, being the family from the Cosby Show.
Yeah, that was that's
a bit that hasn't really aged well, has it?
No, I was, I did note that. Also because, apart from that, the show was overwhelmingly white, right?
True, yes. Can't think of a single other person of colour in the episode, actually.
No, me neither. Which seems like they just cast someone specifically to make that joke, and it wasn't even a good joke.
Yeah, pretty much. So then we cut to bedtime. They're both sleeping. They both look very unaffectionate in their sleeping posture. Something goes bump in the night and Sam goes and explores.
I wouldn't say explores. I would, you know, he like investigates. It's not like he marches into the woods and is like, what an adventure.
He goes and explores his house in the darkness. He gets his map, his pith helmet and his talking parrot.
Someone gives him a sword because he needs to take it with him.
Yes, well, he has to sort of cut through all the undergrowth.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the Jumanji house.
It's dangerous to go alone. Take this.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was getting at, but I couldn't remember exactly what the phrasing was.
I didn't know that was a reference you would get.
Excuse me? That's from Zelda, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Big into Zelda.
Okay, yeah. Gotta up your nerd cred a bit, in my esteem.
Yeah, I know. I feel like I give a really terrible impression of myself on these P-casts.
You're just too cool.
Obviously, the fact that I just called this podcast a P-cast really indicates my level of cool.
Hmm. You're really hip with the lingo that the kids are talking about.
Oh, you know it.
Anywho, he encounters a mysterious dark figure in the room. Could it be the same mysterious figure that menaced him so many years ago?
And that's why he hates Halloween, because he always gets visited by the dark, scary man. That sounded racist. I meant shadowy.
Three ghosts visit him every Halloween night to try to teach him to be less of a miser.
Yeah.
They were just getting in ahead of time. When he was a baby, it was a sort of Ghost of Christmas Past type thing, except they forgot to turn on the No One Can See Us. Anywho, they fight and it's Dean.
Hey, Dean, what's up? Why are you here? You're estranged from your brother.
Yeah. They make some noise. They start talking about how Sam's out of practice and that's why he got scared. And then Jessica comes in and Dean immediately starts creeping on her.
It was very creepy.
She's wearing like this sort of sleep t-shirt with the Smurfs on it, like right over her chest. And he just stares at it and is like, I love the Smurfs.
Yeah, it was not good. And then she's like, I'll put some clothes on. He's like, no, I wouldn't dream of it.
Mm.
I was like, shut like, up, you gross dude. Bitch. Him, not her.
Yeah.
Just to clarify.
How dare she entertain someone not in proper formal wear already? Gross bitch.
You should be in black tie every time you answer the door.
So, Dad Winchester hasn't been home for a few days.
Oh, also Sam is like, not Sam. God. Okay, Dean is like, oh, Sam, we should talk outside. And Sam's like, no, whatever you say to me, you can say in front of Jessica.
And then he's like, well, Dad's been on a hunting trip and he hasn't been home for a few days. And then he immediately goes, Jessica, leave the room.
He doesn't say, he says, can you excuse us for a minute? He's more polite.
Whatever. It's the same principle.
It is, yeah.
Same sort of hyper-masculine bullshit that these two are always spewing.
Yeah. Basically, this is where we learn that their dad is not, it's not deer hunting or nothing. He's hunting paranormal beings.
Yep. He gets his camera and his e-meter and goes and walks around in abandoned houses being like, did you just hear something? It's cold around here. You ever watch any of those shows?
No, but I've seen them on SNL, so.
Yeah, they're bad.
They sound terrible.
So anyway, that's what their dad does for a living.
But he also shoots things.
Yeah, with a gun, not a camera.
I should have specified.
You should always specify.
With a gun. And he's been missing, and there's been a spoopy voicemail left.
Yeah, and they talk about how he used to take them hunting, like there was the poltergeist in Amherst or the Devil's Gates in Clifton. So we know these guys have, like, some experience under their belt. Ari shooting ghosts.
Yes, but Sam gave it all up to go to college and the dad was like, if you leave, never come back.
Yeah, he doesn't like it. He feels like he doesn't have a normal life because when he was a kid, he told his dad he was scared of the thing in his closet and his dad gave him a gun.
Instead of just reassuring him that he would be fine.
But he should be afraid of the dark because he knows what's in the dark.
That's a literal line from the show. That's not just Liam being hyperbolic. Like, this dialogue is not great.
Very sort of blatantly expository.
Yeah, yeah. Which is a problem we have when we always watch pilots.
Yes.
Sam reluctantly agrees to go with Dean.
Yep. Dad was last seen in this place called Jericho, California, which has had a rash of missing persons in the last 20 years or so.
Yeah, like, I feel like that's still a lot, but they made it seem like it was a lot more prevalent than 10 people over 20 years.
I mean, that's how these ghost sort of things work, though, right? It's like, oh, someone else went missing out on the old Jenkins place. I bet it was the ghost. Ooh.
I guess. It just seems like once every 2 years is not often enough to, like, put it together.
But also there are, like, in addition to the actual disappearances, there are, like, local ghost stories and stuff about it.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I think I just assume everyone in the show would be as bad at solving mysteries as I am, so.
Right.
That's why I'm like, meh. I probably would have just been like, ah, weird. What a coincidence.
Weird how these people keep going missing. What a coincidence.
Exactly.
So, yeah, all the victims have been men, and they've all disappeared in the same 5-mile stretch of road, and the attacks seem to be getting more frequent.
Oh, well, there you go.
There I go.
I mean, like, more frequent attacks. I maybe would have picked it up at that point.
So they play this voicemail from their dad, and I couldn't really make it out because of all the electronic distortion on it, but it was something like, I'm going to Jericho. If you don't hear from me in this amount of time, we're all in danger.
Yeah, but then they do, like, a ghost thing on it.
Yep.
And somehow they heard it saying, I can never go home, but in a woman's voice. I don't understand.
A spooky woman's voice.
Yeah. It was.
I mean, that's one of the things in this show and in a lot of, especially sort of contemporary supernatural shows, no pun intended, where, you know, ghosts and ghost activity disrupt electricity and interact with it in strange ways.
Yeah. Where did that come from? Is that like a standard ghost mystery thing?
No idea.
Because it's like, I don't know if it's something someone made up and then everyone else started referencing it, or if it comes from like an...
I mean, lights flickering are spooky.
That's true. Remember Houdini and Doyle? That was good.
I do. We should watch one of that show sometime.
We should. I'm going to put it on the list. Because that actually, that if you have not listened to our Teebs episode on that, where my thought train went, the next station from Flickering Lights being paranormal was to that episode of Houdini and Doyle, the pilot even, where they sort of disprove that.
A ghost.
Yeah. That had flickering lights though, didn't it?
I can't remember.
Yeah.
Or like some sort of gas leak and a train or something that turned a flickering light into a ghost face.
Yeah. Anyway, that was just...
Anyway, so they decide to go solve this ghost mystery, but Sam has to be back to go to his law school interview on Monday.
This is very important, and they bring it up once every 10 minutes for the rest of the episode.
But now we cut to the scene that, if this were a horror movie, would always be the first scene of the horror movie, where there's a dude driving along that stretch of road in Jericho, California.
He's on the phone to his girlfriend saying, Amy, I can't come over tonight. I'm sorry.
He's not driving safely.
He is not.
What if the ghost was just really into, like, road safety?
Oh my god, I would love
and
that.
And that's why it killed people, to show, to demonstrate the dangers of dangerous driving, or careless driving.
Yeah, that's better. I would enjoy that.
10 o'clock and 2 o'clock. Those are also the times it attacks.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, because someone's there, like, all these deaths happened at either 10 a.m. or 2 p.m. Or probably 10 p.m. and 2 a.m.
10 p.m. and 2 a.m. It only comes out in the daytime.
This ghost only works really short business hours, like a bank.
It's still important to put... Sorry, I just got that. It's still important to put your headlights on in the day to maximize visibility.
Can you imagine if that was the ghost's thing?
I'd love that.
Well, I mean, I think we have it
still kind of fits, like, all of its activity in the show.
Yeah, that's true.
So, don't pick up hitchhikers alone at night. You'll get in danger. He's driving and he's like, nah, baby, it's cool. I have to go to work tomorrow, so I can't come over. And then he sees this woman in white by the roadside.
Now, it's important to note, she's not flagging him down or anything. She's just standing. So he just decides to pull over and is like, oh, you got car trouble? Anything I can do for you?
He's just doing a regular good Samaritan.
I think he's a Samaritan who's after a gobby, to be honest.
Dang. He's a gob Samaritan.
Yep.
So she looks at him and says, take me home. She looks at him and says, take me back to the sweet nights. However that song goes.
Yeah, I was trying to think of a song that's got the lyrics take me home in it, but I couldn't.
Take me home before you go, go.
Take me home, country roads, to a place where I belong. I started singing this too high. Where's Virginia?
I don't think I know this.
Mountain highway. How do you not know? That's all I know of it. Like,
is that
the chorus.
Like Dolly Parton or something?
I have no idea.
So she gets in the car.
She does, yeah. You stop very abruptly there. So she gets in the car. That's the end of the episode. Bye.
End of episode. Roll credits. He was never seen of again. Yeah, he's like checking her out. And at one point she sort of strokes his face with ghostly speed.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yep. So he takes her home, but it's like a spooky farmhouse. And he's like, nobody lives there. You don't live here. Where do you really live? And she says, I can never go home. And then she's gone.
And he's like, what? And he gets out of the car to look for her, which is weird. Like, I would just drive off as soon as possible and be like, okay, weirdo, bye.
Yep. But maybe call the police, like, hey, I dropped this girl off at this creepy farmhouse, but it was really creepy.
Yeah.
But as he's getting out, we see a sort of weird ghost silhouette hand on his car window. Indicating that maybe she's still inside or something, maybe?
Oh, yeah, because she can go invisible, that's right.
Yeah, because she's a ghost.
You make a good point.
So he goes in the house, something makes a noise and he runs away, right?
I don't know, this whole scene sort of blurred together.
Too spooky?
No, it was just filmed very darkly and I had my laptop on maximum brightness, but I still couldn't see a lot of details.
Based on what happens later in the episode, I'm going to assume the ghost kids made a noise.
Oh, that makes sense, yeah.
So then he runs off and gets back in his car and drives off, but she's in the back seat.
Holy shit!
And then he drives, like, over a dangerous bridge and explodes or whatever in the car. The car fills up with mist and then his blood splatters hit the window.
Yeah, so that was gross.
And then we cut to daytime as jaunty country rock music is playing as Sam and Dean are at a roadhouse.
Our favourite. Jaunty
abrupt tonal shifts. Like a whiplash from that music.
Yeah, God, what was the song that they were playing?
I don't know. I didn't recognize it.
I Was Born a Ramblin' Man one.
Okay.
Yeah.
This scene serves to demonstrate how Dean and Dad Winchester make money off hunting ghosts, which is to say they just run credit card scams all the time.
Yes, which is to say they do not make money off hunting ghosts.
And I really liked I really liked the way they explained this, in which they're in this sort of very public place and Dean is in the seat of the car and Sam is in the seat of the car and Dean is out the front of it doing some work or whatever. And Sam just shouts to him, "You and Dad still running credit card scams?"
Oh, but you've got so much anonymity on anonymity. So much anonymity on the road.
So many anemones.
No one knows who you are. You're just one fish in the school.
You okay?
Yeah, you said anemones, so I shifted my metaphor.
Okay, right, yes. Fair.
I was saying yes and.
All right.
I'm really bad at improv, well so this, yeah.
So they drive off and they end up at the same bridge that this dude died at. A man died, Regan.
A man did die. And yet, what do? They just pretend to be federal marshals to get themselves into the
investigation. And when they go in, when they're at the crime scene, quote unquote, you overhear they talk to the sheriff's department and the sheriff says, oh, there's no sign of struggle. There's no footprints, no fingerprints. The car's completely clean. So like, what the fuck happened to the blood that hit the windows?
Oh, that's a good point. Maybe it disappeared like the blood at the end of the episode, but that was ghost blood.
Yeah, maybe the ghost like went like got a rag and cleaned it up or something.
Yeah, maybe the ghost doesn't want to be caught. So the ghost is just like as meticulous as any other killer would be.
It's about a really road-safe ghost trying to commit the perfect murder.
Holy shit. This is an aside, which I'm sorry I've been sidetracking this episode so much, but I was reading the evening newspaper over someone's shoulder yesterday.
It's called The Evening Newspaper, colon,
I think it's
London.
Evening Standard. Okay. Anyway, article, headline that caught my eye, Breaking Bad fan committed murder and dissolved body in acid bath.
Shit.
Right? So I was trying to read the article, but then this woman finished it and turned the page, which is annoying.
How dare she?
Yeah, but like, isn't that fucking insane?
Yeah, that's messed up.
Yeah, anyway, carry on.
So the sheriffs think that like, well, maybe it's a serial murderer or a kidnapping ring, and Dean is not impressed, and then they leave.
Because it's obviously a ghost, you idiots.
Yeah, idiots. You know that ghosts exist.
We just don't know what kind of ghost yet.
Yeah.
Also, we've got double mystery, because we're trying to figure out what paranormal being is killing people, but also where Papa Winchester is.
Yeah, so it's like seasonal arc intertwined with episodic spook 'em up.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't even considered that the dad thing would be a seasonal arc.
It is.
Yeah, I thought they'd find him in, like, episode 2.
Oh, guys, didn't I tell you I came home?
Guys,
you must have
just
missed me on the road.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought maybe when they get to Black Rock, Missouri, or whatever, they would...
Colorado, I think.
Yes, you are correct.
Anywho. Yeah, am I? I'll check my notes. Yeah.
Oh, look at me. I'm Liam. I took notes.
Yeah, I'm a real detective. No, I'm not. They go find the girlfriend that guy was talking to on the phone when he was driving, and she's putting up a lot of missing persons posters on the same section of the street.
Yeah, which is silly. Yep. That's not an economical use of the posters that you paid good money to have printed.
Yeah. Or best case scenario, she paid for the paper and the printer ink.
And that's still, printer ink is expensive. Have you bought printer ink lately, ma'am?
That adds up. And you've got to make a lot of posters to find someone.
That's true. That's true.
So they talk to her and they learn that there's this urban legend about a girl who was murdered long ago. And that she hitchhikes and people who pick her up disappear forever.
Important to note, though, it's the girl who died. They just assume it's murdered, right?
Yeah, but the girl tells them murder.
Oh, okay. Cool.
And also at this scene, they're pretending to be the dead guy's uncles, even though they look like the same age.
Yeah, like they're 26 and 23, maybe?
Yeah, although I guess you can have strange discrepancies in uncle ages, but maybe cousin or something would have made more sense.
Yeah, it just seems like they're really aging themselves up whenever they masquerade as a different person, and that's probably not going to go very well.
No, maybe all their fake IDs and stuff are just for older people.
Maybe it's all their dad's fake IDs that he's not using, so...
Yeah. So they go to the library and look through the archive and they can't find anything on a murder on this stretch of road. But then Sam has a brainwave.
With his law school intellect.
Yeah. He's like, ghosts are made by violent death, but not necessarily murder. Look for suicide.
Lo and behold, here's our woman, Florence Welch. Nope.
Yeah. Nope.
Nope. That's the lead singer from Florence and the Machine, Constance I'm pretty sure. Welsh. Yes.
She drowned her babies and then committed suicide.
Because she was full of guilt. So that's sad.
So they go check out this bridge at night and then they see the ghost girl.
They do indeed. Spook. I really like the ghost voice. It's fun to do. Yeah.
Yep. She jumps off the bridge and their car starts. But Dean has the keys in his hand. So how could that be?
Ghosts.
Dean's heart breaks at his car, the only thing he loves, betraying him.
It does. That's very accurate read of the scene.
So the car starts chasing them and they spend a surprising amount of time outrunning it before they jump off the bridge.
Why would you think that's a good idea?
I assume they were trying to get above the river or something because they were going to jump off the bridge. But the way it was shot, it felt like these guys are outpacing this car pretty easily.
Yeah, I was like, you'd have to know that your car is a massive piece of shit to think that outrunning it is a really good idea.
Hmm. So they jump over, Sam like hangs onto some pipes or something, but Dean falls in the river and he's filthy. So they go to the inn.
He smells like a turlet.
Yeah, you smell worse than when Cousin Earl fell in the stink swamp. You know the stink swamp?
No, is that a thing?
No.
Oh, okay. You went out of your character voice, Liam. I didn't know. Why does anyone listen to us, honestly?
Turns out their dad bought a room at the same inn for a month.
And they know that because they're using credit cards with weird surnames and the hotel lobby clerk, it's generous to call them a hotel lobby clerk, the guy checking them in is like, you're having a family reunion or something? Ha 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 ha.
So I don't know how they get into his room. I guess they just probably break in.
Yeah, they must be like, oh, what room is he in? Can I go and say hi? Thank you so much for letting us know. Ha ha. And then break in. And I assume this is all off camera. I'm just extrapolating.
It's like full evidence dungeon in there. There's like paper stuck to the wall with red string connecting
it. Holy shit. It's like you should not have that much shit in a public place, even in your own house.
Yeah, even if that was a place you're renting, you'd be violating security deposit, let alone in just an inn room.
And like, but also just in terms of like, aren't there cleaners at this motel?
Maybe he always puts the do not disturb sign on the door.
Maybe.
And also there's a ring of salt on the floor. And they use salt rings a lot in this show to keep demons out.
They did say that it was for protection.
Yeah. That's something that goes back to like fairy folklore and stuff.
Also ants.
What?
Say stop ants.
Really?
With a wall of salt, yeah.
Oh, I thought ants would have liked salt.
They like sugar.
True. So does it attract them initially until they find out it's not sugar?
Oh, maybe. Maybe they think it's the wrong thing. No, if you put it at the doorway, like in cracks in the doorway or whatever, it repels them from coming in because they don't want...
Because they're demons.
Yeah. Maybe all demons are ants.
Maybe. They're just colonies of ants that like form together into a fist, like in Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Or in that weird... Have you seen the video of the fire ants?
Yes.
Like that, where they become either a solid, a liquid, or a gas. Not a gas. Is that right? No.
Probably not.
They act like either a solid or a liquid or like a gel. I think gel is the right one, depending on...
like a semi-solid.
On what they have to do.
Like oobleck.
Like they'll form themselves into a ball, and if you throw the ball at a table, they'll just like sort of recover because they've protected themselves.
Yeah.
So that's how demons are made, everybody.
And that's how ants work.
As a team, which is important, as we'll learn at the end of this episode.
So, Daddy's solved all the mysteries. It's a ghost called a weeping woman or a woman in white, which is a ghost that has an unfaithful husband and then has temporary insanity and murders its children, then kills itself, and then gets cursed to walk back roads and highways and kill unfaithful men.
So, basically, this is a ghost with a very complicated and specific backstory.
But it seems to occur a lot.
Well, what can I say? Men be cheating.
Fickle. Stuff happens. Dean gets arrested and finds his dad's journal.
He doesn't find it. It gets presented to him as evidence that they're up to something shady.
Yeah. And then while that's happening, Dean goes and speaks to Steve Railsback, a.k.a. Joseph Welch, a.k.a. the reptile.
A.k.a. the husband of the weeping woman.
Yeah, and he's like, now I made some mistakes. No matter what I did, Constance would have never killed her own children. Now get the hell out of here and don't you come back.
Sam is like,
All right.
Then places a fake 911 call.
Dean immediately and very easily breaks out of the sheriff's office, even though he was cuffed to a desk.
Yeah. I guess if you're in the, like, illegal paranormal hunting business, you'd know how to do that shit, though.
Probably. He's probably had some experience with it.
Like, I would make a point of learning that.
So, Dean is driving back and he gets a call. No, Sam is driving back and he gets a call from Dean. Their dad has left them coordinates of where to go next.
But unhelpfully, he has not figured out what they mean.
No, because I guess he hasn't had time yet.
But also, it was like 3511. Like, they can't be latitude and longitude coordinates.
3511, I think.
Oh, okay.
And as he's driving, Sam runs over the girl and then she's in the car.
Yeah, that was also weird because why would she, like, that seems to go against her whole convoluted backstory.
Yeah, because he's not one of, he doesn't fit her target profile and yet.
Yeah, and he also didn't stop for
her. He says, take me home. She says, take me home. And he says, no. And the doors lock and the car starts driving itself.
Like, she was sort of just asking to be polite, but he had to do it either way.
I mean, I was asking, but I wasn't giving you the opportunity to refuse. That would just be rude.
Yeah.
They pull up at the farmhouse and somehow she's in the front seat again already. And he says, you can't kill me. I'm not unfaithful. I've never been. And then she says, you will be, and starts, like, getting all over him.
Yeah. And then she kisses him on the mouth, which, what would that feel like if you're a ghost? If you're kissing a ghost, can you feel it?
It's just like vaping.
Oh my God.
So, like, her face turns into a ghoul face and then she vanishes and then she reappears and puts her hand into his chest and starts murdering him. It's all very scary, I assure you.
Absolutely. I'm not sure how he doesn't have severe injuries because she does, like, rip his chest and you can see blood and stuff.
And then Dean starts shooting her and she's a ghost, so it doesn't really do anything. But then Sam starts the car and says, I'm taking you home, and then drives it into the house.
I wasn't aware that actually made it to her house until he did that.
Okay. I think that's where she goes there and then she realizes, I can't go home again. Better kill this guy.
Yeah. So he drives her into the house, and this is where we get to the fun climax of the episode.
Yeah. The brothers are so proactive in this climax. It's really exciting.
Yeah.
They stand there and she traps them behind a cabinet, and then her kids show up and drag her to hell.
Basically. Yeah. Yeah.
And then there's the worst dialogue in the episode, just really explicitly spelling out everything that's happened, where they look at the spot on the floor and Sam says, Dean says, so this is where she drowned her kids. And then Dean replies, that's why she could never go home.
She didn't want to face them.
Oh, I get it. She's a ghost.
I did not understand. They didn't make that clear in the episode at all.
Anyway, then we cut to, like, establishing road trip scene where they're driving. One of their headlights is out, presumably because of the crash.
Well, yeah, because Dean's like, if you ruined my car, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah. If you ruin my car, then you can be my new car.
Become a Transformer, Sam. Do it.
I think Sam does get, like, magical powers in this show.
I'm really excited.
He goes back to do his law interview and he gets home and he's having a great old time. I think he hears the shower running. Is that right?
I don't know.
But he lounges back on his bed and everything seems good in little old Sammy's world until...
Until something drips on his head.
Is it wine?
Nope, because he looks up and his girlfriend's on the roof with what? No. With a slit across her stomach.
She bursts into flames. Because you gotta kill women to motivate dudes on TV.
Oh, straight up.
Anyway, that happens and he's like, we've got work to do. And then he runs outside and they get in the car and, like, rock music starts playing or whatever. And that's the end of the episode.
Not just any rock music, Back in Black.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now Dean doesn't have his special girl and he's filled with vengeance, which he wasn't before because he couldn't really remember Mum. And they're going to go punch some ghosts.
Absolutely. And that's where we cut.
Yeah. End of episode.
And the start of a beautiful adventure.
Yeah, no real mystery thing in this. I didn't really do a mystery envelope, did you?
No, because we knew who it was, and I was just like, fuck it.
Yeah.
Basically.
The real mystery is why we thought this would be right for our show.
Well, we wanted something spoopy for Halloween.
Yeah.
And that's what we got.
Just kidding.
Oh.
I mean, solving, like, a ghost mystery.
Yeah.
So, question is, hot or cold?
I'm going to say cold, but only because I love doing mystery envelopes so much.
I'm going to say cold because this show is kind of dreadful.
Well, I feel like we've both made very good points, and this is maybe the first time we're in agreement.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Probably not, but maybe.
Maybe. Maybe Luther we also agreed on.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that was easy.
Yeah. So to now it's time for Mystery of the Week.
What do we got?
This week's quote-unquote Mystery of the Week isn't necessarily an unsolved mystery, but...
Nor is it about this week.
It is so appropriate for the Halloween episode and also us watching Supernatural, I had to discuss it with you.
Please do.
Our Mystery of the Week this week is the Winchester Mystery House.
Go on.
This is a house... in San Jose, California, which was once the house of a woman named Sarah Winchester, who was the widow of the gun magnate William Wirt Winchester, who you may have heard of, like, Winchester rifles before.
I have not.
Okay, that was a gun brand.
Well, yeah, I assumed from the name.
Yes, well, when old man Winchester died in 1881 of TB, she received $20.5 million and 50% ownership of his gun company.
Fucking hell.
Which, according to Wikipedia, gives her an income of roughly $1,000 per day.
Jesus!
So, at a certain point, she started to, either through some sort of presumably undiagnosed mental illness, or Wikipedia mentions that a medium was involved. She became
Amazing.
Convinced that she was being haunted by the ghosts of people who had been killed by Winchester brand guns.
Oh my god.
So the solution to this was to use her proliferate wealth and constant income to keep the house under construction and construct, like, traps and doors that open onto nothing and stairs that go nowhere so that the ghosts couldn't follow her.
Oh my god.
And I believe at one point something cited that if she believed that if the building ever stopped, then the ghost would get her and she would die.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't mean to be like, that's, you know what I mean? I don't mean to be insensitive because she probably did have some terrible...
Yeah, it doesn't sound like the activity of someone who is in a stable frame of mind.
Yeah.
So,
goodness me.
It's a big old tourist attraction now. But
how did she die?
Oh, how did she die? I'm not sure.
Like, did she fall through one of her own traps?
Let me look how she died. Let me conduct some investigation. Death. She died in her sleep of heart failure at age 83, and construction of the Winchester Mystery House stopped.
I like it. I like this, because I thought it was going to be a mystery of, like, then she died.
Well, she did die. Maybe the ghosts got her.
But, like, they liked her for trying to make amends. She didn't try to make amends, did she? That was a lie
She tried
said.
To constantly gaslight them through
the
clever
ghosts.
Architectural...
Yeah, but, like, I would definitely be worried that I would, like, sleepwalk and kill myself in a fake staircase or something.
By walking up a staircase that just goes into a pit or something.
Yeah.
There are roughly 160 rooms, including 40 bedrooms, 2 ballrooms, 1 unfinished, 47 fireplaces, over 1,000 panes of glass, 17 chimneys with evidence of 2 others, 2 basements and 3 elevators.
That is crazy.
Yeah. In 2016, they found a new room, and it's been made available to public viewing. It's an attic space that contains a pump organ, a Victorian couch, a dress form, sewing machine, and paintings.
How did they only just find a room?
I have no idea.
That's crazy.
Eric Kripke, creator and showrunner of the Supernatural US TV series, cites the mansion as a source for the surname of the main characters.
Ayy!
Yeah. So, Winchester Mystery House, mystery solved.
Stamp that file. It's done.
Stamp that file. That's definitely a house.
Yeah, it's not really a mystery house, is it? It's just like a, why did you do this house?
Like in all things, the biggest mystery is why.
Well, because she thought that ghosts were following her.
Yeah.
So, not even a mystery there. I'm sad for her, though. I feel sad for her.
It's an unfortunate circumstance. Although to her credit, she was very, very rich.
But she was sad.
Mm-hmm.
What a bummer.
Happy
I want to see
Halloween.
This house, though.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I really want to go to it one day.
All right, let's do a Mystery Twins road trip.
Yeah. We need to stow away on a tour and then broadcast live from the Winchester Mystery House.
Oh, my God. Let's do it.
We can do it in the room with the,
pump
in the
organ?
Attic.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the pump organ.
Perfect. No, I think the real mystery is definitely how a room went unnoticed until 2016.
Yeah. And the answer is probably ghosts.
Oh, it's always ghosts. That's literally the answer to this, why these rooms exist in the first place. So, great. Okay. Well, I feel like we've done a good job with that one then.
Mm-hmm. We've really made a difference here today.
Oh, yeah. We're changing the world one mystery at a time. If you've got a mystery that needs solving, let us know on Twitter at MysteryTwinsDA.
Weird curiosities I know about.
Yeah, I don't know about any weird curiosities, so we need to keep... Get some mysteries up. No, don't get some mysteries up in us. That's a weird thing to say.
Get mysterious up on us.
Yes.
Anywho, take us out, Regan.
All right, our theme music is In the Crowd by the Years. We're on Twitter at MysteryTwinsDA. We are on email at mtdetectiveagency@gmail.com.
Nice and consistent.
Absolutely. We will be back next week with a new episode. And until then, no yachts.
We're not really twins.
Bye, friend.
Hooroo.